بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله I spent the session last night discussing the important subject of sacred knowledge and the last thing I mentioned was that one should overlook the failings of the teachers otherwise that would harm yourself. And the reason being is as Sufyan ibn Uyayna said, Rahmatullah alayh, somebody said, people come to you from all over the world, but you become angry with them. They will probably thus leave you. He responded, then they are fools like you, if they would leave what benefits them because of my bad manners. So what he was saying was, this is a trick of shaitan. Right, shaitan wants to stumble you, to stop you from learning. And if you find a failing with a teacher, the revelation is telling you, avoid that, ignore it. But if you look into it and say, no, I can't learn from this person now because I found a failing, then who loses out? You, nobody else. It is also from the excellent mannerisms that though one has come early to be with the teacher, to let another ask their questions first, especially if they have travelled further than him. Hafiz al-Khatib in his Al-Jami li-Ikhlaq al-Rawi wa Adab al-Sami, number 661, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, two men came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man from Thaqif and an Ansari. The man from Thaqif thereupon said to the Ansari, you are a people who undoubtedly give preference to others over your own selves. So would you now consider letting me speak with the Messenger of Allah? The Ansar said, of course. So look at how noble the companions are. So the Sahaba from Thaqif, he's traveled about 330 miles to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he traveled from Taif to Al-Madina. The Ansar is a resident. The Ansar was with the Prophet first sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Thaqif companion said, and look how he praised the Ansar. He goes, you are a people who prefer others over your own selves. Referring to a verse in Surah Al-Hashr. So would you allow me to speak with Rasulullah first? And the Ansar was, of course. Note the sublime way the companions would converse with each other. But in another report adding details, Hafiz al-Khatib in his Al-Jami li Akhlaq al-Rawi wa Adab al-Sami, number 662, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he said, an Ansari came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are some words I would like to ask about and learn from you. He thereupon said, sit. Thereupon another man from Thaqif came and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are some words I would like to ask about and learn from you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Ansar came before you. Thereupon the Ansari said, he is a foreigner and he has a right. Thus you can begin with him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this adds a detail. So what happened? The Ansar wanted to ask something from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then that man came from Taif, 330 miles. And he said, I'd like to ask you something, Ya Rasulullah. He didn't know that the one who comes first has the right to ask. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba from Thaqif, the Ansar came before you. Immediately the Ansar said, Ya Rasulullah, he has traveled a long way, he has a right. You can begin with him. So what was that Sahaba teaching you? The wisdom was to please the teacher. That was what he had first right. But he wanted to please the one who he was taking the knowledge from. Why? Because by pleasing that the teacher, you'll give more. So no, these are etiquettes. Right? Sometimes you think, well, I was here first. How come he's asking the first question? And even with this, Allah Ta'ala has given you guidance. It is also of the utmost importance that the divine revelation naturally has precedence over everything and everyone, including the scholars. Hafiz ibn Abd al-Barr rahmatullah alayh, in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm number 1877, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he said, "Woe to those who follow the slips of the scholar." They asked, "How is that?" He replied, "The scholar says something based upon his opinion. Then he finds someone who is more knowledgeable of Rasulullah than him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he abandons his opinion. However, those who imitate him keep following," i.e. his opinion. It's war to those. So let's look at this. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, he made an amazing statement, radiallahu anhu. He said, "Woe to those who follow the slips of the scholar." So why would you follow a slip of a scholar? He explained, the scholar gives a ruling, but it's based upon his opinion. But later that scholar realizes he's made a mistake. He finds revelation, somebody more knowledgeable, and then, of course, he follows that view, the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But those who imitate him, they persist. He goes, "Woe to those people." So what was Ibn Abbas telling you? Revelation always has precedence, no matter who's giving you the opinion. This ailment crept sadly into the ummah very early. How early? Hafiz ibn Abd al-Barr rahmatullah alayh, in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm number 1998, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "This ummah will act upon the sunnah of Rasulullah only for a short while," sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Then they will act upon their personal opinion. When they do that, they will have gone astray." Look how shocking this hadith is. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, "The ummah will act upon the sunnah for a short while." Look at how shocking that statement is from the Prophet. If somebody says, "Do you love the sunnah?" Of course we love the sunnah. It's revelation. What did the Prophet say about the sunnah? He goes, "Very short while you follow the sunnah, then you leave it. And then you will start following opinions." And he goes, "When you do that, you've gone astray." Now, why is this very important to understand? Because when you ask respectfully why or how an alim has come to a ruling, he should give you the proof. You understand? So you don't say with arrogance, "Where did you get that from? Astaghfirullah," right? You say, "Shaykh, we respect you, what you said, but we just out of, you know, interest, how did you come to this ruling?" And what happens? Straight away he'll tell you. He'll either go straight to the Quran and Sunnah, or he will say, "Well, there's nothing clear. And this is why I believe this to be the case." So straight away, what has he told you? This is an opinion. So when you get that knowledge from the Shaykh, you keep that in mind. Why? Because now you know it's not revelation. So if somebody then comes and says, "But Rasulullah said this," straight away, what do? You act upon the revelation given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what do people do? They go, "No, we still follow the opinion." This is the warning. You understand? You don't put on par something which is with the Quran and Sunnah. And the Prophet still said, despite that, you will stop following the Sunnah very quickly. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar, he clarified on the pulpit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "O people, the personal opinion emanating from Rasulullah is always correct," sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "due to Allah Ta'ala's inspiring him. However, the personal opinion from us is mere assumption and guesswork." This is in Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra 10-117. Hafiz ibn Abd al-Barr in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm number 2000 with a Sahih kind of transmission. So let me ask you a question. Is Amir al-Mu'mineen a liar? Astaghfirullah. No. So when he speaks anywhere, we know he's telling the truth. Where did he mention this? On the pulpit of Rasulullah. He did that deliberately. And what did he say? Because when Rasulullah gives his opinion, because it's never wrong. The reason is Allah Ta'ala is looking after him. But then he says, but when one of us gives an opinion, it's guesswork. So what was Hazrat Umar telling you? Don't treat me like the Prophet. In fact, there's many examples of this. This man came to Umar radiallahu anhu and he asked him a question. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, I think you should do this. And guess what the man said? But Rasulullah said, do this. Umar got his staff cracked. Because you come to me when you already know what Rasulullah said. Now think about that. You know, these people like this. They know the answer, right? They go, Sheikh, what's your opinion about this? And the sheikhs were clued up. And I'll give you an example. Somebody went to one of the sheikhs here, Masjid al-Quba, and they asked him a question. And then he said, have you been anywhere else? And asked this question. And he goes, yes. He goes, why did you come to me then? Right? So there's clued up scholars. If he had answered it, what would have happened? But Sheikh so-and-so said this. There's people like this. Oh, that's all they're bothered about, causing confusion. So the response to all this is, it's opinion. Right? As soon as you get a ruling, for example now, why is there a difference of opinion with regards to during the COVID crisis, whether to stand together or stand separate? Because there's no text. Right? So some ulama said, look, you know, because this virus can be passed on, you should separate. Other ulama said, well, there's no text for that. That's just an opinion. Right? Therefore, what did the Prophet say? You pray together. You understand? So there's a difference of opinion. If there was something clear, everybody would have agreed to this. Right? So this is why you have to look into, you know, be at least have some acquaintance with the divine revelation. Amir al-Mu'mineen warned one and all, Sayyidina Umar. Look what he said. The people of opinion are in reality the enemies of the Sunnah. SubhanAllah. The people of opinion in reality are enemies of the Sunnah. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm number 2001 with the Sahih channel transmission. Now think about that. Opinions can be beautified. You get very eloquent people. What did the Prophet say? In eloquence, there's witchcraft. If you wanna, if somebody goes, witchcraft doesn't affect me, watch them. When they, when you, you know, you actually see them, they look like they're hypnotized. They may be watching a film like that. There you go, he's mesmerized. For example, you can mention people, they're not Muslims. If you listen to Louis Farrakhan, listen to him. Within 5 minutes, you're glued like that. Because he's got eloquence. Right? Jimmy Swagger, listen to him. Right? But are they telling the truth? So what did Sayyidina Umar say? The people of opinion, they are the enemies of the Sunnah. In other words, listen carefully to what people are saying. What did he quote to me just now? And then you'll notice sometimes he's not quoted Quran, he's not quoted the Sunnah. He's just giving views. The reason for their opinions was explained by Sayyidina Umar. What did he say? Radiallahu. They are shy to say, we do not know. When they are asked, thus they contradicted the Sunnah with their feeble opinion. Hence, beware of them. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayh in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm number 2003. Look what Sayyidina Umar is telling you. He goes, the people of opinion, the reason they've got that illness is because they've got pride. They can't say, we don't know. Have you noticed that? You ask them something, brother, what's your... Well, I don't know what Quran and Sunnah says, but I think... Right? There you go. As the woman goes, beware of these people. Because they haven't got haya. They would say, straight, I don't know. I haven't got a clue. A man came to Imam Malik all the way from Spain. Imagine, maybe 1,000+, couple of 1,000 miles to go to Al-Madinah in those days, 1,380 years ago. When he got there, imagine, smashed, probably months of travel. He had 40 questions from the scholars of Spain. Imam Malik answered 17. 23 he didn't answer. He said, I don't know. So the man then goes, I've come all this way, Imam. And you didn't even answer half of my questions. Imam Malik goes, go to somebody who knows. Now, there's the Imam. So the answers he gave was from revelation. He refused to give his opinion. He refused point blank. He could have easily said, I don't know, there's nothing here, but yeah, I'll have a go. I think it's this. There's an imam, right? There's a lesson there for this. I don't know, brother. I haven't got a clue. But when you get the, what happens when you hear the Quran and Sunnah? You know, you get happy. Alhamdulillah, he's brought in revelation. The great Ibn Abbas, what did he say? Radiallahu. It is only the book of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Sunnah of his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever says anything thereafter, based upon his personal opinion, then I simply do not know whether it is from his good or evil deeds. Subhanallah. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayh in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm number 2013 with a weak chain of transmission. So what did Ibn Abbas say radiyallahu anhu? The Quran and Sunnah is a good deed. You quote that, you're right. But if you give your view, I don't know whether it's a good deed or a bad deed. Meaning you've now entered a dangerous territory by giving a view. And what's even more disastrous, people now say halal and haram. Like it's a, you know, sweet. You know, for example, now they go, brother, it's haram for you to join in Salat. So I looked at him, I goes, did Allah Ta'ala reveal that? And then he goes, no, this is what the scholars have said. I goes, that's their view. So the scholars now have become the lawmakers. So they're using a very hard term. Why? Halal is from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Haram is from Allah. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, look at the lessons. Somebody asked him about music. Is makruh tahrimi. So, what does that mean? It means it's greatly disliked. So then you get some, you know, people saying, well, this hadith saying is haram. Then why didn't he say haram? Because do you want me to become the lawmaker? I will go as far as I can go. I will say greatly disliked. He refused to say haram. Why? Because that means that you're saying Allah Ta'ala has made it haram. Rasulullah has made it haram. Because I'm not the one to make that judgment. Now think about it. Brother, haram, brother, haram. What's haram, brother? What's haram? Astaghfirullah. The honorable Salaf, they followed suit. Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm number 2018, Imam Sha'abi, he states, Masruq will say, rahmatullah alayh, I do not make analogy of anything with something. They asked the reason, he replied, out of fear that my feet should slip. So Masruq, who was the famous student of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu, he goes, I don't give opinions. And he goes, why not? He goes, I'm scared of slipping. He goes, it's not even on my radar. You know, he said radar. Right? You know, look what's happening now, everybody's giving fatwa. You know, it's brother, you go, haram, haram, what's haram? Astaghfirullah, everything's haram. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah alayh, he said to the scholars, if you are tested with judgeship, stick to the narrations. If you are tested with judgeship, becoming a qadi, stick to the narrations. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayh in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm, number 2021, with the Sahih Chain of Transmission. So let's look at this. Who is he talking to? He is talking to Imams. Abdullah ibn Mubarak was from the Taba Tabi'in. He was a very famous saint from the Taba Tabi'in phase, i.e., the time of Imam Malik, Shafi, and Ahmad. He said to the Imams, if you become an Imam, my advice is stick to the Hadith. Now, why did he say that? Because you're a judge now. That's the only safety for you. Don't start giving your views. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi said, another famous imam, the religion is only with the narrations. The religion is only with the narrations. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayhi in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm number 2022, where there's Sahih transmission. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi was a very interesting man. He was an imam in the time of the Taba Tabi'in. Look what he said. Your entire deen is the narrations. You don't need anything else. You don't need anything else. The whole deen is in the narrations. If you don't know, go to the people who know. They'll help you. Qadi Shureh, who's he? Great man. Qadi Shureh was made a Qadi in the time of Umar. Umar made him a Qadi. He continued to be the Qadi into Muawiyah's Khalifa. So for about 40-50 years, he was a chief judge. What did he say? Qadi Shureh, rahmatullah alayh. The Sunnah came before your opinion. follow, do not innovate. Indeed, you will never go astray as long as you stick to the narrations. Hafiz Ibn Abdul Barr in his Yami Bayan al-Ilm, number 2024. He's been a judge for 50 years, 40, 50 years. What did he say to the people? Stick to the narrations. Safety lies there. You hear something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, humble yourself. You hear something from Rasulullah, humble yourself. You hear something from the Salaf, humble yourself. All of the Imams are from the Salaf. Humble yourself. After that, it's opinions. Right? Whose opinion is it? Right? And once it's an opinion, it can never be halal and haram. You can never say that. The most you can say is, this is the opinion of an Imam. If somebody says halal, he's telling you, Allah Ta'ala has made it halal. And you can actually say to him, did Jibril come to you? After revelation finished. Right? You know, people just coming out with these statements, halal and haram, as if it's like, you know, word is originals, astaghfirullah. Imam Malik, what did he say? Rahmatullah. In Tabari, in his Tahzib al-Athar, Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr, in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm, number 2072, and others. Imam Malik, rahmatullah, said, Rasulullah passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the religion was completed and perfected. Thus, it is now necessary for you to follow the hadith of Rasulullah and not to follow opinions. For whenever the personal opinions are followed, another man will come who is stronger in opinion than you, and you will follow him. Indeed, whenever a person comes and overpowers you, you will follow him. This, I view, will be the cycle. It will never come to an end. And isn't that true? So soon as you start following opinions, another person comes with, you know, more eloquence. He goes, he's right. Then you go, so he was wrong then. You said it was halal. Right? He goes, oh, he's wrong now. Oh, let's follow him. Then another guy comes. Right? He's definitely right. Oh, he's wrong as well now. So what do you learn about that person? Right? Where's the truth with them? Are you ever on the truth? Astaghfirullah. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmatullah alayhi, what did he say, rahmatullah alayhi? Sorry. Imam Malik, rahmatullah alayhi, he wept in his old age. And he wept over his personal views. What did he say? Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr, rahmatullah alayhi, in his Yami Bayan al-Ilm, number 2081, sahih. Qa'anabi once entered upon Imam Malik and he was weeping. He asked him, O Imam, why do you weep? He said, O son of Qa'anab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall judge me for what occurred from me without careful attention. Oh, would that I now be flogged for every word I uttered concerning this religion, instead of all that I have uttered inadvertently using my own deduction, and in discussing these issues, whilst I could have refrained as others had preceded me in speaking. Subhanallah. So Imam Malik, the Imam of Darul Hijrah, rahmatullah alayh, in the Sahih Hadith, he's weeping. And why was he weeping? Because I've given some views. He's weeping over that. Imagine, not because of sins. He goes, in my life, I've given views. And then he says, if I now had a choice, I would rather get whipped and take those views away and get whipped over it. Think about that. He goes, forget that view, whip me. I don't want to be questioned about it. And then he says, if only I had refrained as others had refrained. In other words, other people, I don't know. Why didn't I just say I didn't know? Why did I be brave to say, well, I'll give my opinion? Now, what's shocking about all these reports? These are Imams. If they're not going into it, where did you come from? Astaghfirullah. Right? Imagine, well, I think. Think what? Right? Well, I looked at Google. Right? Google. Right? It's not even a human being. Right? And then he goes, no, no, but it covers all the areas. Right? Yeah, Google. Imagine they're human. They're not going to question Google. They're going to question you, you fruitcake. Google's just a computer. What is that? Right? Google, did you? Well, you're going to be questioned, astaghfirullah. And look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you follow the Imams, you will not be questioned about anything. Allahu Akbar. Think about that. Is Allah Ta'ala going to say to you on Day of Judgment, why did you say there's only four fathers in wudu? Ya Allah, Imam Abu Hanifa said it. Good enough. Right, imagine scot-free, alhamdulillah. If you give your view, right, Allah Ta'ala is gonna drill you. Right. Why did you say that? No Quran, no Sunnah. Well, I just had a kind of an inkling, right? Allah Ta'ala is gonna, there's nowhere for you to go, you're gonna be questioned. Right? And imagine, just follow the Imams. Alhamdulillah. And then you feel sorry for the Imams, ya Allah. You know, have mercy on them. They're going to be questioned about every single ruling. They said this is farad, I didn't say it. They said it's wajib, I didn't say it. They said it's sunnah, I didn't say it. Alhamdulillah. Why do you want to get involved? And now, we don't need the Imams. You know, imagine what's happening there. We don't need the Imams. They're probably thinking, yeah, thank God. Good luck on day of judgment, innit? Astaghfirullah. Imam Awza'i, what did he say? Rahmatullah. Stick to the narrations of those who have preceded, even if the people reject you. And beware of personal opinions of men, even if they beautify the speech for you. Subhanallah. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr, Rahmatullah alayh, in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm, number 2077. It's Hassan. So let's look at this. So who's Imam Awza'i? He was an Imam whose school died out. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said, Imam Awza'i had more knowledge than Imam Malik. Think about that. So this great Imam, what did he say? Stick to the hadith even if people reject you. You say Rasulullah said this. Oh no, but right? Rasulullah said this. I'm happy with that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then he says, beware of opinions, even if they're beautified. And what's one of the statements they come out when there's no text that says this? It's rock solid. Rock solid. What's rock solid, brother? Hey, what's rock solid? The argument is rock solid. Where's the Quran then? Hey, where's the Sunnah? No, but it's rock solid, isn't it? Beware, Imam Awza'i said, beware. They're trying to beautify it. There's nothing there. Astaghfirullah. There's nothing there, brother. It's just an opinion. Imam Ahmad, what did he say? Rahmatullah. Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayh in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm number 2107 say, the opinion of Awza'i, the opinion of Malik, the opinion of Abu Hanifa are all opinions. They are thus all equal to me. The proof is only in the hadith. Who said that? Imam Ahmad. So what, he wasn't disrespecting the Imam, he was an Imam himself. He goes, despite their greatness, they are men. They can make mistakes. When they give an opinion, it's an opinion. Just like I give an opinion. But the proof is in the hadith. Why? Teaching you. They're not prophets. Right? You know, think about it. If somebody goes to you, why do you even think about it? If somebody asks me, did Imam Ahmad make a mistake? Sure he did. Some people say, oh, you can't say that. Right? And he goes, what can I say? And there's the illness, right? Because they're thinking that the Imams are infallible. Sahaba made mistakes. Who are the Imams? Radiallahu ta'ala. Right? That doesn't take away our love for them. Rasulullah is infallible. Radiallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did Imam Malik, look at that beautiful statement he made. Allahu Akbar. He's in Al-Madinah. He's looking at the grave of Rasulullah. And he said, Radiallahu alayhi wa sallam, the opinions of everybody can be correct and they can be wrong. Except of that person lying in that blessed grave. Because except him, he goes, he can't make an error. Because anybody else can make errors. Think about that. Teaching you, don't equal opinion to revelation. In conclusion, with such a barrage of narrations, Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr, he concluded, I do not know of any divergence of opinion between the foremost scholars of this ummah and its pious predecessors. That personal opinion is not knowledge in reality. As for the foundation of knowledge, it is the Quran and the Sunnah. Recorded by Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayh in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm 2-765. So let's look at this. So Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr, the great Maliki Faqih rahmatullah alayh, he said, scholars of old, scholars of now, they all agree personal opinion is not knowledge. Think about that. If somebody gives an opinion, all Imams, because that's not knowledge. Think, look how interesting the wording you use, because it's not knowledge. Knowledge is the Quran and Sunnah. Right? Meaning, don't elevate opinion. Thus, Ahmad ibn Sharawih, rahmatullah alayhi, so rightly said, whoever desired knowledge of the grave, he should study the hadith. Whoever desired knowledge of bread, let him study opinion. Subhanallah. Hafiz Khatib in his Sharf al Ashab al Hadith, number 149, Hassan. What was the Shaykh saying? Knowledge of bread means, you know, pay your bills. If you want to know how to pay your bills, study opinion. You'll get far in the world, right? But if you want knowledge of the grave, study hadith. Meaning, that's true knowledge. Look how beautifully they're putting it across so you get the message. Because what is knowledge? You know, oh yeah, it's interesting. Where does that get me? It's dangerous. I'm on a minefield. Quran and Sunnah, brother. Hence, no other than our beloved messenger himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most knowledgeable of the people are those who are most discerning of the truth when the people differ. Subhanallah. The most knowledgeable of the people are those who are the most discerning of the truth when the people differ. Recorded in Hakim in his Mustadrak 2-480, Sahih. Hafiz Zahabi disagreed. Hafiz Al-Aqili in his Al-Du'afa 3-408. So who's the most knowledgeable according to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? People have differed. The one who knows the truth, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is the most knowledgeable. Meaning, an expert, he's looking. Like now, you know, everybody's giving fatwa. You know, it's, brother, don't stand next to me, right? It's haram for you to touch my shoulder. MashaAllah, haram, you go haram again. Right, another person, you know, well, I mean, you got your mask on. I forgot it. Brother, haram to come into the masjid without a mask. Right? And they give in the haram. Right? He goes, but it's an opinion. It's just an opinion. It's not knowledge. Right? We respect what the scholars are, but it's not. If it was, everybody would be doing it. Right? And think about that. But when you quote a text, class. It's about a text. One brother said to me today, you know, maybe laugh or stuff, I'll share it with you. He goes, oh, brother Yusuf, there's a hadith. He goes, what's the hadith? He's Arab brother. He goes, Umar radiallahu. He goes, you must have heard it. I goes, tell me what it is. He goes, there was a disease spreading. And Umar radiallahu made the people stand, you know, a distance from each other in Salat. So I looked at him, I thought, is that hadith, brother? Right? And he goes, yeah. He goes, have you heard it? I thought to myself, you know, I goes, where is it then, brother? You know, where did you get this from? I heard it, didn't I? Right? I heard it. Right? Right? And then I goes, so, you know, which book? You know, this hadith. Right? I goes, if there was a hadith from Sayyidina Umar, do you think people would be differing? Right? Differing has occurred because there's nothing clear. One person has made a mistake. One person is right. That's the reality what's happening. Think about that. One person has made a mistake. One person is right. You can't both be right. But we don't get involved. The scholars, they're going to be questioned about this. The Sheikh, you know, I don't want to mention his name. He says, we're living in Ajib times. He goes, the whole Ummah has agreed to abandon the Sunnah. That's the words he uttered. We're witnesses. He goes, the Ummah has agreed to abandon the Sunnah. Meaning, to stand together. Then I asked him, so obviously his heart was not with it. But the reason that he was saying was because the book stops with him. If anything happens, he's going to get the blame. So he didn't himself say, you know, you should stand together. Obviously, because if the authorities come in, who's going to get the blame? Not us, he's going to get the blame. But he goes, Ajib times. And it's true, Ajib times. SubhanAllah. And just to add this to finish, the scholars of Ahadith have a very high maqam. How high? Hafiz Khatib ibn Sharaf al-Ashab al-Hadith, number 93, Sahih. Uthman ibn Abi Shaybah, he relates upon seeing some of the scholars of Hadith, and they were in commotion. Verily the fasiq, the degenerate amongst them, is still better than the devout worshipper who is not one of them. SubhanAllah. Verily the fasiq, the degenerate amongst them, the scholars of Hadith, is still better than the devout worshipper who is not one of them. So let's look at this. So one of the great men, Uthman ibn Abi Shaybah, he saw scholars of hadith and something was troubling them. You get this among scholars. An issue was troubling them. He then, look what he said, look at these very powerful words. He goes, the fasiq amongst the muhaddiths, that means the one who's degenerate, bad character, this, that, and the other, but he's a scholar of hadith. He is still better than the saintly worshipper who is not a muhaddith. What is their status? What were they telling you about muhaddiths? Because these are the ones who are carrying the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning, always respect them. And this is why now you get this camp syndrome. He's a muhaddith. Yeah, but he's one of them, isn't he? He's a muhaddith. Doesn't matter if he belongs to them or them. He's carrying many of the hadith in his heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what did the Shaykh say? The fasiq, even if he is fasiq, the Shaykh is saying he's better than the devout worshipper who is not a muhaddith. Think about that. So that tells you that Allah Ta'ala honors the people of hadith. Why? Because they've dedicated their lives to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine somebody says to you, what has this person dedicated his life to? And you hear this statement, he's dedicated his life to every word that comes out of the Holy Prophet's lips. When you put it like that, the guy goes, subhanAllah, what a noble cause, what a noble way to live one's life. That's a muhaddith. He wants to know everything about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, he'd smile when he see muhaddiths. And then somebody asked him, he goes, oh honorable Imam, why do you smile when you see the muhaddiths? Because they remind me of the Sahaba. SubhanAllah. Imam Shafi, imagine, he himself was a, you know, mujtahid. He goes, the muhaddiths are like Sahaba, because they're your gateways to Rasulullah. You notice that? Person with knowledge of hadith, he's a gateway to Rasulullah. That's like a Sahaba. We get everything from the Sahaba. All the hadith come from the Sahaba. So what did Imam Shafi call the muhaddiths? He goes, they're like Sahaba. All of them like the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? And the people of opinion, who was the first to use opinion? Anybody know?
The shaitan.
Shaitan? What a lousy imam, right? When did he use the opinion? First time ever. When did he use it? His qiyas.
He gave his opinion that I'm better than him.
Think about that. Allah Ta'ala said, prostrate to Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. They all prostrated, the Quran says, illa Iblis. Allah Ta'ala asked him, why didn't you prostrate? What did he say? I'm better than him. I'm made from fire, he's made from clay. Hang on a minute. That's an opinion. Was he correct in his opinion? No. But if you look at his argument, isn't fire stronger than clay? Isn't there some reality to it? You could argue. But he's absolutely wrong. And what did happen to him because of the opinion? Hell forever. Right, think about that. So Hasan al-Basri said in a Sahih hadith, Shaitan was the first to use opinion. Beware of opinions. And just to add this, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, why did he encourage this? The reason he encouraged his students to prepare for scenarios that haven't yet occurred is because he was in Iraq. He was in the middle of the fitna. There were Rawafid, there were Khawarij, there was Mutazila, there were all sorts. So Imam Abu Hanifa, because of the environment he was in, he encouraged his students. He goes, prepare a scenario that hasn't happened and find a solution for it, because it's going to happen. Imam Malik didn't agree with that. He goes, somebody came to him, he goes, Imam Sahib, what's the answer to this? And Imam Malik said, has it happened? He goes, no. He goes, come back when it's happened, then I'll answer it. So who's right? They're both right. Imam Malik, he wouldn't budge from the Sunnah. He goes, I'm not going to give an opinion of something that's not even happened. Imam Abu Hanifa was training because of the fitna, the place he was in at the time. And that's why they are called the people of opinion. But that's not a derogatory term. It means they were trained to prepare for that. And the proof that they prepared excellently is that the Khilafat was based upon the Hanafi fiqh. The Abbasid Khilafat was based upon the Hanafi and Maliki fiqh to some extent as well. Think about that. The whole system of government was the Hanafi principles. So again, this shows the status of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah. So all I mentioned today was basically the importance of the divine revelation, and to be aware and get the red alert sign when it comes to opinions. As soon as you hear an opinion, respectfully ask. Don't argue. Say, brother, you've said something. Where's the base for that? If Quran is mentioned, it's not an opinion. It's called revelation now. Sunnah's mentioned, revelation. Salaf, quoted authority. If he says, no, this is deduced, that's an opinion. And treat it as an opinion. No, subhanAllah. Are there any questions you want to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على المرسلين والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله